they don't want to be making the investment decisions. They don't want to be taking a lot of risk. They want to make sure it's risk mitigated. And when they saw what we do, they're like, wow, okay, I could do this. I could get licensed and offer this to my clients, and I'd be thrilled. And a lot of our reps started that way. So we have reps that are in the insurance industry that come to work with us. We have new people just getting started in the industry come to work with. We have people that are in big firms that don't want to be just a number anymore. They actually want to be part of a team, part of an organization where people know who they are. And when they call, they're talking to somebody the same all the time and they get things done. Those are the guys that really appreciate who we are and what we do.
I'm Garrett Lail. Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast, bringing the latest industry trends and best practices to financial advisors from leaders of the top firms in the financial services industry.
Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast. I'm Garrett Lail. Excited to introduce a new contributing partner firm, CPR Investments. Charles Reinhold and Nancy Reinhold joining me on the show today. This is such a big deal. I even put on a button-up shirt for this. So I'm usually a polo guy, but the polo I had on earlier today was the same one I was wearing on my the last episode. So I don't like to go back-to-back in the same shirt. So Charles and Nancy, appreciate you joining me. Excited to have you part of the crew now.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
So CPR Investments, you're in Rochester, Michigan, that's right?
That's correct.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about, and for listeners and viewers, tell me about CPR Investments. How did it come about? What possessed you to start your own firm?
Yeah, well, I started with other firms back in 1987, so been a number of years now, but in 2000, I don't know, I guess it was 2006, it really got to the point where I wanted to be able to offer something different to my clients than I was being able to do at my previous firm. And, I started doing some homework, some research. I was just with a broker-dealer. I didn't even know at that time in 2006 what a registered investment advisory firm was. I mean, it was kind of a new thing. I mean, it's been out for a few years, but I don't think it was real popular yet to be working on a fee-based rather than a commission-based. But at any rate, one of the problems where I was in the broker-dealer world was we pretty much could offer mutual funds and, other investment options that were pretty typical, things that today, most clients could get to with their own, with their iPhone. And I really wanted to do something that was very, very different. What really prompted all this was in 2000, in the late 90s, the technology sector really did phenomenal. In fact, in 1997, 98, 99, maybe more so in 99 than any other year, that segment of the market did phenomenal. The problem is that was a lot of dot-com companies that had no profits and had no real company, and that made all that happen. But I had my, investors, and in particular my own father, who saw his portfolio triple in value in just 2 or 3 years. And he was sold on technology. In fact, Warren Buffett was going around saying, maybe it is the new thing now, that the old guard is out and that this is the new guard, the technology stocks. And it's like, so at the end of the day, what happened though in 2000, 2001, and 2002 is the market went into a slump, and especially the NASDAQ. And if you were invested in technology stocks, you really took a beating in 2000, 2001, and 2002. And one of the things I realized is that people tend to fall in love with certain stocks or certain segments of the market, and they really think they're going to do something fantastic. And they're like, just talking to my own dad in 2001, in 2000 and 2001 was, I think it's time that we diversify your portfolio, get you out of these technology stocks and do something different. And no, he was absolutely insistent. No, this made me a lot of money. It's going to make me a lot more money. This is really great. I want to stay here. And as I really began to realize that that's what really happens. People make a lot of money with something and they fall in love with it. And the problem is you can't fall in love with anything in the stock market because sooner or later it'll come bite you in the butt. Okay, so what I really realized was that people needed something different. They needed to have an investment portfolio where the decisions on where to be invested were being made kind of systematically or automatically for the client. And I started looking into a lot of different avenues, and I stumbled across the investment advisory side by talking to a rep from one of the annuity companies. I don't want to mention all their names, but one of the big annuity companies. And I was explaining to him that, hey, it's really great that annuities, the variable annuities at that time were coming out with these riders where you could put money in, you pick out your investment accounts that you want to be in, the underlying subaccounts inside the variable annuity. And you would put this rider on, and a rider would provide a guarantee, something that you can't do in a mutual fund, and would provide a guarantee of income later on in life. And I thought it was great and wonderful, but what I realized in 2001 and 2002 was that even if the guarantee was on there, the client still looked at the underlying investment portfolio and saw it drop 30, 40, 50, 60, 70%, and they were upset about it. And so it's like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a way to try to help the clients not have big losses like that in their portfolio. And he mentioned to me about a local company that was not only maybe 10 miles away from me that I should go and check out. And I did. I went and checked them out, and I got this, well, we didn't lose any money in 2000, 2001, and 2002. We made money in those 3 years. I'm like, what? How'd you do that? And they started explaining what they were. They were an investment advisory firm, and they worked on a fee base and blah, blah. And I got introduced to that whole new world, and I got really excited about it. To make a long story short, I realized that there are firms that clients can put their money with that will manage that money for them and help keep them as much as possible out of trouble, that they will move the client into more conservative investments during really rough periods in the market and move them into more aggressive portfolio automatically when the market's improved. Depending upon how aggressive or conservative the client was, would determine how much of the portfolio that they had would go in equities or not. But still within those limitations, it would have the clients in the right places at the right time. At least that's what they attempted to do. It's not always guaranteed to do that, but it's what they attempted to do. So I thought, well, that's better than not attempting to do anything. So I got really excited about that. In 2006, my firm that I was with decided they were going to use a different company to do their broker-dealer, and they were going to start their own firm. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, the new firm that they were starting wasn't going to have an investment advisory division, wasn't going to have a fee-based side. And so I was given the dilemma. It's like, you can either stay with the old company, which they didn't want me to do, or you can come with us and then start your own firm, which you always wanted to do. And I talked to them earlier, many years earlier before I joined them. And they knew my direction, that I wanted to start my own firm anyways. And so I just do it. Go ahead and do that, and we'll work with you. And so that's how we got started. And ended up meeting with, you know, literally hundreds of different firms in the industry that could provide this kind of investment solution. And we started off offering it to our people that were at the old company, and they loved it. And it was great. And I was getting more and more reps from the firm I was with wanting to be part of my new registered investment advisory firm. And one thing led to another, and it's like, I think we've got something here. This is pretty cool. What we really wanted to do was challenge the status quo. I mean, most people get put into like a 60-40 portfolio or an 80-20 portfolio. And the bonds are supposed to buffer the downside in the stock market, and then the stocks are supposed to, you know, help the client make money on the upside of the market, but the bonds would be a drag. And what I thought made more sense was that portfolios would shift to be more conservative during the rough periods in the market, and shift to being more in equities during the better periods when the stock market was behaving. And the clients wouldn't have such a drag on their portfolio on the upside, and they would have not just something that would slow down the losses, but maybe even stop the losses altogether on the downside. And so at the end of the day, that was really the premise behind our whole company, was to deliver this to the average investor in a way that it would be very diversified, with multiple, what I call SMA managers, separately managed account managers, that were tactically managing the client's portfolio. Because what I learned early on was, just because they're a tactical manager doesn't mean it automatically works. So what we found is that in some cases, depending on what the market conditions are, some SMA strategies, tactical strategies, would do really well under certain market conditions, but not so good under other market conditions. So we really felt that the best way to provide this kind of a service to clients was to build portfolios that would have multiple SMA managers, multiple tactical managers in a single portfolio. So the idea behind that was probably if we might have 20% of the portfolios having an off, 20% of the managers having an off year, and maybe they're not delivering the kind of performance they are normally delivering, and 20% of the managers would be delivering better, as good or better than they usually do, and the other, you know, 60% would be about what they normally do. And so that the good guys would offset the bad guys, and we'd deliver a very consistent result to the client. Well, we found out very quickly back in that time, 2007 and 8, and even today, there's very few custodians that have the technology to have multiple SMA managers in a single client portfolio. And it can be done by using a third party, but the problem with using a third party is it can get really expensive and really clumsy, because if there's something not going right, it's like, is the custodian the problem? Is it the third party that's the problem? And we didn't really like that. So we found a custodian that basically developed the technology to accommodate this, and we've been with them ever since. We've been with them long term. If I can mention that, as a Trust Company of America, I was one of the custodian platforms that some of our tactical managers were using. Of course, others were using TD Ameritrade and other platforms, or Fidelity or whatever. But Fidelity and TD, and none of them were interested in providing this kind of technology in-house. So we ended up going with Trust Company America because they were interested. In fact, they came to me and they asked me what we would like to see them do for us if we were, you know, going to build something with them. And I told them, they're like, we can do that. And they did it. And they built this incredible technological platform that allowed us to have multiple SMA managers in a single client portfolio in-house, no third party, very inexpensively. And that's really what we started with, and we've been with them. They were purchased by E-Trade a few years back, and the name changed to E-Trade Advisor Services from Trust Company of America. Same people, though, same company, just a new name, new owner. And then E-Trade sold it to Axos Advisor Services. And that's currently that's who owns it now, and that's the new name, Axos Advisor Services. But we've been the same company since 2007 or 2008. All the way through as a custodian, and they've been fantastic for us. So they deliver this great technology. In the meantime, I've been interviewing roughly 20 to 30 tactical SMA managers a year since 2007. So it's been almost 20 years. And we've really been able to identify managers that we can believe in. let's put it that way. Some of these tactical managers show you these great, you know, results, and they have this great story, and they tell you all about how wonderful and how great they are. Of course, you would expect that, right? But at the same token, where the rubber hits the road, the results weren't there. And because I think that I've got a lot of experience in meeting with and talking to and looking into these different managers, you kind of be able to tell which ones are giving you BS and which ones are giving you the truth. And at the end of the day, we have gotten really good at finding money managers that are absolutely phenomenal. There's a lot of managers out there, but I think we have our all-star team. But even with that, we keep interviewing and talking to new managers to see if we can bring in somebody new, somebody that's adding something that's going to enhance the portfolios. But we also look for people that maybe they're doing something similar to what another manager we already have is doing, but they're just doing it a lot better. And if we can replace anybody, we're always looking to make it better. Are we perfect for everybody? No. Would I say that we've had a perfect result in all this? No. But I would say that one of the greatest things about CPR Investments is we're always looking to get better. We're always trying to improve. We're always trying to find a new manager that's going to deliver and enhance for our clients and do even better. But I think in the end of the day, there's probably no other firm out there that has as much experience in building portfolios with multiple SMA managers, tactical managers, in single portfolios for clients than we do. And I'm pretty proud of that. And we've got quite a phenomenal track record. And we've built quite a team. We've added some people to our firm that I think have really enhanced it. We've always kind of done sub-advisory agreements where we've hired these third-party managers to sub-advise for us. And then recently we've hired a couple people that used to sub-advise for us are now internal in our firm and running strategies here in-house. And so those strategies you can only get here, which is pretty good. So that's kind of the history of the company a little bit. That's what brings us to today. So
Nancy,
let me tell you. So when I started the business, Nancy's my wife, by the way. So the two of us started the company. My son's.
Hold on. All these conversations we've had up to this point, I didn't know Nancy was your wife. We never had this.
No.
I knew you had to be related, right? Because there's just not that many Reinhold families out there. I knew you had to be connected, but it never came up in any of our pre-production meetings, any of our just, you know, introductory meetings. I never knew what the connection was. So there we go.
You know, I know. That old saying, behind every great guy, there's a fantastic or great woman. That's Nancy.
Yep.
She's been with me in the business since the beginning, since 1987. She handled like all the paperwork. She handled everything. Anything we needed to get done, she'd look into it, find out. I mean, she's been an absolute amazing grace to this whole company and everything that we've done. So she gets all the grunt work. I get all the fun. But the bottom line is that, you know, I'm a really firm believer that women belong in this industry, in this business, and that we're agnostic to that. We really, men, women, I don't care. If you're a female and you're a financial advisor, this is a great company for you because we do believe in women here. So I want to get that out there. We're not just a male-dominated company. So it is. And it's a really pleasure to have her. So she's been with me since the beginning. People say, don't ever work with your spouse or whatever. Well, we challenge that status quo too.
Yeah. When I was forever, you always heard, don't go into business with your friends and don't move in with your friends. If you live with your friends, you're going to business, it'll ruin them. So I challenged that. Me and my best friend were college roommates. We survived. I mean, we could have killed each other a couple of times, but we didn't. And we've done a little bit of business things together here and there, and we've survived and haven't killed each other yet. So status quo is meant to be challenged. How's that?
All right. So, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead and ask Nancy.
No, all good. So Nancy, I can, you know, kind of see, and a lot of times that, you know, it's a opposites attract to some extent. And there's always a great relationships, whether they're marriages, whether they're business associations, whatever, they tend to be complementary. You're not the exact same skill set. Otherwise you just end up with overlap. So I can see Charles handles making the money and trying to figure out how to do that. But I see from the website, you're in charge of handling the money. Your official title on the website is treasurer.
So, I handle most of the back office paperwork and stuff like that. When we started in the business, it was just me. Then my son started with us and his wife helped for a bit. And now she's off having babies and I have more of a staff. So I have like five or six people that work for us here at the home office. And we do everything to make sure that the applications and processing clients' accounts get opened and they get serviced if they need cash, if they need their address changed, their name changed, or whatever. We have a great staff here to be able to make sure that that gets done quickly, smoothly, and that you have your own person that you can talk to. I mean, we like Chuck said, we work with Axos Advisor Services, but we also have, you know, we do have a relationship with Schwab or Fidelity, but with them, it's totally different. When I have to call Schwab or I have to call Fidelity, I just talk to whoever answers the phone, if they answer the phone. And so here at CPR, most reps will be able to call and they'll be able to know personally Terry or myself or Alyssa or Jessica, and we'll be able to help them. And they can talk to us personally every day. And we'll handle all that back office stuff that gets to be kind of a drag on people. So, for example, let's say you're a rep and you're out in the field or you're out on vacation, and one of your clients calls and says, they need a DocuSign, they need some money. It's like, fine, no problem. My staff will handle it for you. We'll send out the DocuSign. We'll do that for you. We're very helpful to the reps. It's something that you won't find in most other firms because most other firms, they'll give you the 800 number. Here, call, do it yourself. That's not the way we work here. Especially with Axos Advisor Services, they don't really have a call center. So everything comes through us. We handle it for you. And it's just a much friendlier, easier way to be able to do your business. At least I think so. Like I said, we've been in the business since 1986. Started way back when, just doing term life insurance, trying to recruit as many people as we could. That was how we started. There was many times that we were just doing term life apps and mutual fund applications year after year after year, until we got into the 2000s, when the whole business changed and you had the variable annuities and just more options than the stuff you had back in the 1980s. So it's been a journey. We've been married almost 42 years. We have two grandchildren right now, two granddaughters, one more on the way. And Justin works with us, and he is our only son. We really enjoy the business as a whole.
Yeah, as I was going through, I tend to work better on the fly. I found if I do all this research ahead of time, I tend to get scripted. So as we're talking here, I'm going through the website. And one stat that I hear touted an awful lot, before the life that I'm in now, in my previous life when I with the recruiting firm that I worked with, I would sit down, I would talk to firms, and I would kind of hear – I would hear their pitch, not that they were pitching me, but they would tell me what to pitch to other people or to the advisors, right? And I would hear the same thing over and over and over again. But one of the things in particular that I heard touted was the home office to staff, or the home office staff to advisor ratio. And I'm just doing quick math here, according to your website. So if I'm speaking about this incorrectly, then update your website. But you have an executive team of six staff and 25 advisors nationwide, kind of spread out, heavily concentrated there in Michigan, but spread out through different states, which by my quick East Carolina math comes out to about a 2-to-1 advisor to home office staff ratio, which I think speaks to what you said there, Nancy. I mean, I'm hearing a couple of things from this. I mean, number one, it's obviously a family culture company, right? I mean, it's you've got the two of you and your son involved in it, and there's a couple other Reinholds on the website there as well. So I know that it is sort of that family culture, but at the same time, it seems to be a very advisor supportive culture as well, and that you've got that backbone to, I've had the same experience calling home office, calling the custodian, and you're on the phone for 45 minutes before you finally get somebody, and then that person has to transfer you to someone else, and then that person doesn't really have an answer, and they'll get back to you tomorrow, which turns into next week, and it's a nightmare. There are a lot of advisors out there who, that's a very important part of what they're looking for, is that, are the people behind me going to be there when I turn around and need them? Because a lot of times they get kind of the opposite. Everybody touts advisor support, right? I mean, no firm is going to come out there and say, yeah, we do the best we can, but we're not going to really do that much if we can help it. But it helps to know for sure, okay, they really mean what they say. Because a few people do mean what they say in this industry, and it can be confusing for advisors because a lot don't. So they don't know who's telling the truth and who isn't. Shifting just slightly, though, because you've talked about, we've talked offline about this a little bit, and you've talked a little bit on the show about the things you bring to the table. What types of advisors, if I were trying to describe sort of the 25 advisors you have there, what's their stereotype? What are they looking for? I mean, I'm hearing Chuck go, I can tell your passion for the markets and investment strategy, and we could do a 2-hour feature on investment philosophy and have a lot of fun with it. But I'm wondering, from that, sometimes that attracts other advisors who have that type of DNA. Sometimes it attracts the total opposite. We want to bring advisors in who don't care about the investment stuff. That's why they come to us to start with. So do your advisors tend to be very, portfolio construction centric and that kind of a mindset? Or do you work with advisors who have different skill sets and they're looking to offload that to CPR?
Yeah. Yes. The answer, the last one. So we built a company to be very, I don't want to use the word, I guess I'll use the word simple, but very, the ability to really scale. And what I wanted to do in building this company was build a firm where it really doesn't matter, think, I don't want to use McDonald's as an example, but I mean, if, typically speaking, if you go into McDonald's in Michigan or you go into McDonald's in Florida or one in California, pretty much going to have the same menu and get the same product. So one of those things when you're traveling around the country, if there's a particular food you like and that particular company is nationwide, you can go to any one of their stores and pretty much know what you're going to get, right? And what we really wanted to do at CPR Investments is that our clients would get kind of the same investment program, whether they went to a ABC rep or XYZ rep, and it doesn't really matter. What the experience that we wanted the client to get was that they would get a rep that would care about them. And we really look for that kind of character, that kind of characteristic personality. We can teach everything, but I can't teach personality. I look for somebody who really kind of cares about their client and cares about getting to know them and getting to work with them. And so then we'll sit down and basically get the information to be able to say, okay, this is where you guys are. This is where you guys, this is your goals, this is your dreams, this is where you want to get to. And let me help develop a game plan to get you there. And then with that, there would be financial planning. So we really look for the advisor to be the financial planner, the person that's actually going to help the clients put together a financial plan. And of course, in doing that and building this company, I wanted to make sure that our advisors had the tools they needed to do that. So we're very, very cutting edge technological wise. We were early adapters of a software program called eMoney for doing financial planning, which is an online where the clients actually get a website that updates every night with all their stuff in it. And basically, and you build your financial plan there, and they can actually see their financial plan. They can log in every day and look at it and see how they're doing. And then when you do annual reviews with the client, you go back to that plan and say, okay, here's where we started a year ago. Here's where we are now. We're on track or we're not on track, and let's make some changes. So we wanted to make sure they had really great financial planning software, and every one of our advisors gets that. We wanted to make sure that the advisor, when they're sitting down with them, is able to say, look, we're not a one-trick pony. What we offer here is, if you need bank, if your financial plan calls for banking services, we provide banking services. We CDs, money markets, you know, whatever you need on the banking side, Axos Bank, we work with them. It's an online banking service, and they can provide you with any banking service you need. Last thing in the world I want is as a rep to start working with a client, and then the client inherits a bunch of money, or some reason there's a bunch of money in their checking account or savings account, and they go into the bank and they whip out their debit card and they scan it through that little scanner when they meet the teller, and she looks in there and goes, oh, I see you've got $200,000 in your checking account. You need to meet with one of our financial advisors. And they get paid for that. So we want to make sure our advisors can offer a banking solution that keeps the bulk of that kind of money not at their local bank, but in with a bank where it's away from some other financial advisor that might go after their client. Number two, and we wanted to make sure the clients had 3 months to 6 months of, how should I say, emergency funds in that kind of a bank account, because they don't want them using their investment account, their IRA, their Roth IRA, whatever, as a put and take account. Every time they have a little, like, I need a new roof on the house, I need to take money out of my investment account. We wanted to make sure that clients have an emergency fund and make sure that we have tools to do that. We also wanted to make sure clients were properly insured. So we worked with about 8 different IMOs to make sure that that our advisors have what they need to provide any kind of insurance service the client needs. Number three, we wanted to make sure that that the clients had a trust in the event that something should happen to them prematurely, if they have kids and a home and things like that, and they need a trust. We wanted to make sure that the trust was available to them. And so we work with a nationwide company to do trusts. So at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is make sure that the advisors have all the tools they need to do all of the financial planning for the client. And we think you pretty much have your hands full there. If you're trying to manage the portfolios and you're trying to figure out what stocks to buy and things like that, that's a full-time job all into its own. And if you're doing that and you're trying to do the financial planning and you're trying to do the living trust and you're trying to do everything, then you just become a jack of all trades, and you're not really necessarily going to get really good at any one of them or have the time to really build a lot of assets under management and really build an income and still have a life. I mean, at the end of the day, the last thing I want to be doing is spending all day with clients and then spending all night on the computer trying to figure out what stocks and what portfolios to be in and all that. That's what we tried to do, is separate that. We wanted to have it so the advisors are doing the financial planning, and they're building the relationship with the clients. And then behind the scenes, we've got CFAs that are building the investment portfolios, managing the investment portfolios. And all that, what we do as a firm is hire those sub-advisors to manage the money the best that we can find. And so we're hiring what I believe are the very best money managers in the whole country. And then what we're doing is we're building portfolios from conservative to aggressive. And I think, Nancy, what do we have now, like 45 portfolios or?
Probably, yeah.
Right, some are strategic, they're tax-friendly. Some are very tactical, they're not tax-friendly. Some are very, very age kind of based kind of programs that take you from one level to the next. We've got everything you can imagine, and we're the best money managers in the country. And then what we do is we optimize those to build those portfolios so that if you got a moderate client, we're saying, for example, if the client's in this moderate portfolio, we don't want to have, in the worst of markets, maybe a loss of more than 8%. So we build the portfolios based on past history of those money managers, and we allocate to make sure that the downside's very limited and the upside is as big as we can get it without breaking that downside. And so we try to build a portfolio so that there's not really a way to build them better. So if we've got the best money managers and we've got 45 different portfolios that cover just about everything, and they're all optimized to get the best result, given a bottom line loss side, so the clients don't get panicky in down markets, you can't really do it better. So we've kind of taken that out of the, you know, realm of what the advisor needs to do, because that's all done for them. And what they need to do then is just go out and build assets under management, get clients, build relationships. And by doing that, they still have a life and they're providing their clients with really great portfolios. So I don't, long answer to a short question. Sorry.
No, that's why we do podcasts. That's the whole point of podcasting, is to give long answers to short questions sometimes. A couple of questions for you, Nancy. The 25 advisors that are on your website now, or any other advisors that are joining your firm right now, do they operate as independents, or do you follow an employee model?
All of our reps are independent contractors. They are all issued a 1099 at the end of the year. We pay out our reps monthly, so we do a monthly run. But most of the reps find that being an independent 1099 employee is pretty much industry standard right now. There are a few firms that do offer the employee platform, but we don't. So.
We haven't in the past, but we are looking to possibly do that in the future.
That is correct. I mean, is people, as reps get older, they like to be able to sell their books. And we have a program in-house called the Succession Plan, where they can actually sell their book. And then in those cases, that's when we will start, when these books start turning over, we will migrate to some of that other employee-based.
Well, specifically right. Sell their book to our company.
Right.
To
see. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then they become employees for the workout period. Right. Yeah.
And then we can hire somebody and give them that book of business to manage. And then in that case, if they leave, that book stays with our firm. In the independent channel way, if they ever leave our firm, their book is free to go with them.
Yeah. And then, so there are, the funny thing about that, I did not know this when I was an advisor. And then I get out of the advisory world and get into the recruiting side for a little bit there. And it's like, wow, there's so many things I didn't know about how this worked. But being independent is not a one size fits all answer. There are so many different brands. There's more brands of independent than Baskin Robbins, I swear. So you've got some independents that are, you know, you're technically independent. You own your own book of business, but the firm still provides a complete arsenal of everything you possibly need. And that's going to usually come at a little bit lower payout. Then there's another form of independent where you are barely tied to anybody else at all, but you have to have somebody filing the ADV for you, and they're in the fine print at the bottom of your statements, and clients barely know who they are. And that tends to come at a pretty high payout, but at the same time, advisors are going to, you know, foot the bill for all the expenses. 100% putting you on the spot on this, and I'm not asking for the specific economics of it, but I'm not even sure if we've talked about this offline, but where do you fall on that spectrum? Are you more We're just kind of here as the chassis, but we're mostly invisible to advisors. They have their own branding and their own, you know, kind of run their own show. Or do you tend to fall on the, we're giving you everything that you can possibly ask for?
The answer is we're giving you a lot, and we're still kind of holding you out to be part of our firm. So we do allow our reps to be independent and have DBAs, and they can have their own websites and stuff like that. And some of our reps run a little bit toward that side, but most of our reps feel like they use our logo and they are part of CPR, and they don't mind that. But again, we can handle both directions. We do offer a lot. I mean, we include all of the fees. There's virtually no fees to join CPR. We cover E&O, we cover your licensing costs, we cover all of the technology right now. There's a couple things that we do charge for is if you don't have your own landline, we require you to have a business cell phone, which allows texting, which we can monitor when there's a small fee. It's $25 a month. So that's nothing compared to some of these reps that are with some of these firms that are charging them $3,000-$4,000 a year just to be part of their firm. Our payouts range between 70% or 70 basis points up to 90 basis points, depending on the amount of AUM you have with our firm. As far as compensation goes, again, we do pay out monthly, and we have a great commission portal and statements where you can actually see what you're getting paid for account by account. I've had reps come to our company and say, well, I got a paycheck. I have no clue what I got paid on. I have no documentation of what they paid me on. I don't know if I got paid on this case or how much that AUM was. I got nothing. And we have a very comprehensive statement and portal for you to actually review and look at your statement to make sure you are getting paid correctly, because I think a lot of reps are missing that. So
it's a line item statement. I mean, my statement's over 100 pages long.
So. That's funny. It's a tiny little tangent maybe here, but one of the things that really bugs me when I talk to advisors, and they'll call me up and say, I'm shopping firms, or I'm thinking about this, thinking about that. And I'll say, tell me about the economics where you're at now. What's your payout? And they'll say 85%. And then I'll say, okay, and does that include everything? Well, yeah, mostly everything. Well, what about this? Well, no, that's 300 a month. Well, what about that? Well, that's 400 a month. Well, what about this? Well, that's 5 basis points. Okay. So I eventually adopted my own little, I think it's my own phrase, true net payout. What's your true net? I don't care about what your gross is. Okay. Tell me what your true net is. I mean, there was one point in time that I had a 60% payout. My true net was like 37 because I was so small. My nickels and dimes were killing me. So, but a lot of advisors, I think the worst case of this, an independent advisor with a couple hundred thousand in production, I mean, a decent sized book of business. And if you take, and I'm getting maybe a little bit, I mean, I'm really including everything here. If you add up everything that their clients are paying for, internal SMA fees and account fees and all these platform fees and everything the advisor's paying for E&O and all these different things, it comes out to like a 22% or 26% true net. They're getting 22% of what's coming out of their client's pocket one way or the other as an independent. And they have no idea because they don't know where to find them. I mean, heck, it takes 30 minutes of research just to get the phone number of who to call to find this stuff out, So Nancy, another curveball question, just because I know we had this conversation on our call off the podcast. We talk a lot about on the shows, what are the right fit? Who are the advisors that are the right fits? I know that from some of your frustrations been finding the wrong fits in the past, or maybe having some advisors come in that didn't end up being the right fit longer term. Who are not going to be the correct advisors, or what are the types of advisors that are not necessarily going to mesh well with the CPR culture?
I guess it's going to be people that want, or reps that want to do a lot of different type of advertising that is off the wall. And yesterday I looked up a rep that had contacted us, and just to see where he's coming from, I went to his website. It's got a beautiful picture on a picture of him no disclosures, barely a phone number. I'm like, who the heck is he working with? Why is his website so bad? I mean, this is SEC flags all over the place. So, I mean, so people that want to be compliant, they want to work, but they don't want to be their own really outside. I mean, they need to mesh. They need to be part of the family, because this is not, we don't run like, we're real hands off. We're not hands off. If you want a firm that's going to be able to help you and guide you and give you lots of training, that's us. But if you want to do your own thing and really, just kind of stay aside, that's probably not going to fit. I mean, I do all the registration for bringing on new reps, and I don't want to bring on reps that don't fit, because it's a lot of work to do that. And then 6 months or a year, they're like, oh, bye, see you later, I'm going off again. It's like, okay. So, but we do provide a lot of support here, and we really feel like it is more of a family situation. So most of our reps have been with us for a long time. 2007, with Gary and John, and these people have been around for a long time, and they enjoy to be able to know that there's always somebody here who can help them.
Enjoy our conferences, our weekly calls, the whole shot. You know, the other thing that's different maybe a little bit about us is that we'll bring on new guys, people that never were licensed before, bring them in the business. We do webcasts like this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Different people. I do Tuesday. Justin does Wednesday. Joe, one of our senior vice presidents, does a Thursday. I think maybe I got backwards. Maybe he's do Wednesday and Justin does Thursday. And we do different things on it. And it's really to help the advisor know what we have. I do a lot of who we are and what we have. And then on Wednesday, it's a lot of how to think right and how to present things and how to get referrals and how to, kind of run your business. And Justin does a lot of the portfolio so that construction helps me with that. So he explains to the reps why you want this portfolio, this one, how to use our software, how to present to the client. We do this training all the time, every week. And so we bring new people on. Many of them start part-time. Some are just out of college. We start new guys out of college that just graduated and they want to become a financial advisor. And they're still living at home with mom and dad. So it's not like big deal. They're not making a lot of money yet, but they will be soon. But we also bring in, so we don't mind that. And we even tell them they can get a job. I mean, be part-time here and part-time and do a full-time job or a part-time job. So that doesn't bother us. We don't necessarily look for rep. I had a rep one time call us and say, I only have an $8 or $10 million book of business. Are you even interested? Most of the firms I've been to don't even want me. They don't want anybody unless they got 25 or 50 million under management. We'll help a new rep that's got 2 million, 5 million, 10 million. That's not important. What's important to us is, where do you want to be in 5 years? What's important to me is that not where you are, but where you want to be, and are you willing to work towards that? And we'll help you. I mean, that's really what we're here to facilitate your business. We're here to help you grow your company, your book of business, help you get to the point, where you're happy, where you're where you want to be. That's really what we're all about. So, do we like reps coming over with 50 million? Sure, absolutely. But that's not a requirement here. I mean, we're just not that kind of firm. I started this company mostly mostly bringing on reps that were insurance only licensed guys that were really selling, life insurance and things like that, where they're selling protection, and they want to get into the investment side because they already have these clients and they know them. But they don't want to be making the investment decisions. They don't want to be, they don't want to be taking a lot of risk. They want to make sure it's risk mitigated. And when they saw what we do, they're like, wow, okay, I could do this. I could get licensed and offer this to my clients, and I'd be thrilled. And a lot of our reps started that way. So we have reps that are in the insurance industry that come to work with us. We have new people just getting started in the industry come to work with. We have people that are in big firms that don't want to be just a number anymore. They actually want to be part of a team, part of an organization where people know who they are. And when they call, they're talking to somebody the same all the time and they get things done. Those are the guys that really appreciate who we are and what we do.
One of the things I try to do on this show and in conversations that I have in general, I try to be pretty impartial in terms of no firm out there is the right fit for everybody. Right. And no one business model is the right fit for everybody. I mean, I know folks that work for, you know, the large wirehouse type firms making a 40-45% payout. They're as happy as they can be. And frankly, I would tell them straight to their face, don't go anywhere. You're in good shape right where you're at. That fits exactly what they want to do. And then I know others that are at a 95% almost entirely independent, and they're not happy because of one tiny little thing, and they need to start their own RIA. You know, there's everything across the board. I think for firms, and you seem to have done this, the important thing is to figure out who you are and be that. Don't try to be everything to everybody, and don't try to fit your square peg into everybody else's round holes and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I think if I'm summarizing your story correctly, and correct me if I'm not, but there are a lot of advisors out there who they want to have the independence and the economics of being an independent. And frankly, if you're in an employee type role and you make the jump to this type of model, you're doubling your payout.
Right.
And the jump to go from that to totally independent is only an extra 10%, maybe 15%. Like, it's five times the work for 20% more income, where right now it's about the same amount of work for twice the income, sometimes less work. But you're kind of falling in that I've talked to a lot of these advisors who they don't like portfolio management. They want to make sure that that's handled by somebody who knows what they're doing, because they're the ones who has to face the clients if it doesn't go well. They don't want to come up with branding and websites and all this kind of stuff, because that's not what they're good at. They're good at financial planning. They're good at relationships. They're good at whatever. And they don't want to have to stay in an employee role at a 38 or 42% payout just because they need those things. And that seems to be the itch that you're scratching, for lack of a better way of saying it, is that if you want to be independent without having to do all of the work of figuring out all this stuff for yourself, plug in here, double your income, or plug in here. And the flip side of that coin is for the folks that are already doing all that at a 95% payout. If you're on the back end of your career and maybe wanting to offload 80% of your workload but retain 80% of your revenue, that's the other side of that coin, right? And it's I really do think that kind of a model, I'm not just saying this because you're on here, although it does help, but I think you fall like right in the sweet spot where it's enough independence to satisfy most advisors with minimal, I don't want to say minimal effort on their part, but less stuff for them to have to keep up with, right? When I started my own, I had to figure out how to start websites, how to print business cards, how to do all this stuff, right?
Right, so just to be clear, it's like the reps, how do I want to put this? Some reps some of our advisors do their own logo, their own DBA, their own everything. But they're not a problem. Most of them don't have a problem co-branding, where it's CPR, you know, the letting people know they're with CPR Investments. But I think the biggest thing that, you know, like, If a rep's got a really big ego and he or she thinks that she can pick, you know, build investment strategies and portfolios better than these CFAs and these incredible money managers with these track records have, fine. You're not for us, okay? We're really looking for, we want to hire the best money managers in the country. We want to have the best best advisors in the country doing the financial planning with our clients. We really don't think that it's a good place to try to be both, try to be the one managing the money and the one trying to get clients and do AUM and be an investment advisor. So you're probably not a good fit with us. If you want to pick your own stocks, build your own portfolios, do your own thing, you're probably not a real good fit for us. I'm not saying that you can't do it here, but it's just not what we're designed for. So, you know, and we know that. So you probably have better places to go for that.
Well, Charles and Nancy, really appreciate your time, and excited to, this is not a one-off thing. We're going to have you on as a regular contributing partner. So excited to have more conversation with you and the rest of your executive team there. For any advisors out there who would like to do more due diligence and homework, you can check out cprinvestments.com. And also, if you have any questions specifically, you'd like to reach out to me, or if you're interested in having a conversation with Charles or Nancy or anybody else on their team, feel free to give me a call at 919-561-2436. send me an email to garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com. All this contact information is littered all over your screen right now, whether you're listening or watching, wherever. You can find this this information, and I would love to chat with you and see if Charles and Nancy and their team can help. So really, really appreciate your time, and thank you for your patience with the technology earlier. It took us a little while to get going, but really a pleasure having you both on, and look forward to more of these in the future.
All right, Garrett, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Advisor Advocates podcast. Really appreciate it. If I can't help you in any way, please feel free to give me a call at 919-561-2436 or send me an email at garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com, or feel free to use my calendar link, which will be listed in the description below. Thanks again for your time. See you next time.